is the Kevin Sheehan Show. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin here on the Team 980. You can tweet me at the Denton Day. Evan Washburn going to join us in a little over an hour from CBS Sports. Talk college football with Rob Brown at 11, Ben at 12, and Zach Wolchuk from Dallas, who, if you remember, if you are a P1 listener to this show, we had Zach Wolchuk on about a year and a half ago. And Zach Wolchuk was the first person that ever made a comment on the potential of Micah Parsons not being in Dallas long term that I heard, that you probably heard. So getting him on now, it is very full circle. Not for him. I don't think he's very pleased, but it is full circle for us. So that's coming in about 2 hours. Right now, we're going to the phones. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Micah Parsons being out of the division is great news. It really would be a shame if, you know, Micah Parsons hasn't practiced in a while. Would really be a shame if that ramp up takes, you know, a couple weeks. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I think, you know, week three is like a great time for Micah Parsons.
You know, coming off a short week, week two, or from week one, you don't want to rush him. You don't want
to
rush.
You're paying $48 million to him. Like, week three is a perfect time for Micah Parsons.
You might as well let him get off to a slow start.
You don't want to bring him back on a Thursday, certainly.
Yeah, you don't want him to hurt himself.
No, yeah, that's your investment. So week three would be a perfect time for Micah Parsons. Him being out of the division and not having to see Jayden Daniels is great. The only thing that would have been better is if he was wearing the burgundy and gold. I would have loved if Adam Peters really swung for the fence, manipulated the hell out of senile ass Jerry Jones, and would have landed Micah Parsons. Are you upset that seemingly he did not even, I don't know that he didn't try, I think that's unfair to say, but he didn't make the necessary moves to get a Micah Parsons? We will start on the phones at 301-230-0980. Sherlock is in D.C. Sherlock, what's going on?
Okay, how you doing? Okay, I'm answer the question. No, I don't think. No, we don't need Micah Parsons, because the whole thing with that is, if we would have got him, that would have, you know, tilted our team in another direction as far as the money we had to pay out. But I wanted to comment on this, what I was talking to you about on the phone, is that Jerry Jones, I mean, somebody called him crazy or whatever, but I'm just saying, Michael Parsons going to Green Bay maybe can get in the Super Bowl. I know they can make a playoff, but far as, what was my point with Michael Parsons? But he's getting two round draft picks, the Cowboys, so he's probably thinking of building a team up next year. You know what I'm saying? Because they ain't got nothing coming this year. I mean, what they got coming this year, the Cowboys? That's all I
got
to say.
I got nothing. I appreciate it. So here's two things. You mentioned the Packers. The Packers did jump Washington in terms of Super Bowl odds for those that pay attention to these sorts of things. The Packers are now like 9-1 to win the Super Bowl, or they're 13-1 to win the Super Bowl after being like 22-23 to 1 to win the Super Bowl. So the odds effectively got cut in half for Green Bay with the addition of Micah Parsons. Micah Parsons is a legitimate needle mover in these sorts of things because, again, he's a top three defensive player. There is one thing, I'll get back to some calls in a second here. There is one thing that I have found to be absolutely hilarious in Cowboy fans attempting to mentally make up for this trade.
Cope.
We're getting Arch Manning. And let me tell you,
you know, this thought did cross my brain, too.
If you think that Archie Manning, who stopped Eli Manning from going to the Chargers all the way back in 2004, is going to allow Arch Manning, who has been, without question, the most protected player that we have seen from high school jumping into college in the social media world ever. That dude barely tweets. He ain't on no social media. They are protecting him with every fiber of their being. And you think that they're going to send his ass to senile Jerry Jones? Are you kidding? They are not landing Arch Manning. They might trade a first-round pick for Shedeur Sanders. They ain't landing Arch Manning. I am not worried about that in any way, shape, or form. Back to the phones. 301-230-0980. Anthony is in D.C. Anthony, what's going on?
Not too much. So on a reality tip, there was no way in hell that Jerry Jones was going to trade to the Commanders or the Eagles. So to play along with the scenario, you get Micah Parsons, you blow up your salary cap, you still got to sign Jayden, you still got buku contracts next year. So hypothetically, how far were you willing to go to give up assets?
I would have given up Daron Payne, and I would have given up 3 first-round picks if that's what it took to get Micah Parsons here. I understand what you're trying to say, but you can very easily design that contract to where when it's time to pay Jane Daniels, you're going to be perfectly okay, especially with the continual rising of the cap. And then as painful as this is to say, because right now Frankie Louvu is a great player on this defense, if you sign Micah Parsons, the need to re-sign Frankie Louvu next year is not as glaring. You still like to keep him because having both of those two guys would be awesome, but Micah Parsons would then take precedence over Frankie Louvu, and then you just kind of got to work it out with like a Debo and a Laremy Tunsil. Unless Debo goes out there and just has like 1,500 total yards, I don't know that he's going to get a crazy, crazy contract. He's just going to be more focused on guarantees. And then Laremy Tunsil, you'll just have to bite the bullet there with that one. You'll have to pay him a little bit of money, but I don't really think that it'll set you back a ton. And then you can then maneuver some picks around, get more later first-round picks. That's seemingly where Adam Peters likes to do his best work. And if they're just going to do the mercenary route, which they did last year and this year, you could very easily field a roster. But then if you get Micah Parsons, you have a top-3 defensive end, a top-3 left tackle, and a top-5 quarterback. And then depending on how you feel about Terry, a top-10 wide receiver. I would gladly take that. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Terrell is in Baltimore. Terrell, what's going on?
Hey, listen, this is a great day in DMV. I'm just telling you.
It
like,
is.
To not have to deal with Micah for 2 games a year is amazing. But it sounds flashy to like if he could have been in the Burgundy Gold. I personally don't like ex-Cowboys being in the Burgundy and Gold. I just don't like it. It's just something about playing for the other team. I'm not with it. But at the other time, like we're always talking about how this team is the oldest team in the league right now. And so like if we're giving up 2 first-rounders or like you said, 3 first-rounders, I think that's really hindering this team to grow and develop and bring your draft picks on. So although he is a generational game changer, difference maker, I don't know if that's enough because we have too many holes to fill. So like, no, it might be better off going with the Louvu and these other guys until we can get our guys built up through the draft. So I don't know if I would do it, but it does sound great. I just wouldn't do it for the entirety of my team.
Terrell, that's a great call. Here is the thing in terms of the holes to fill. The glaring hole is filled, with Micah Parsons. He is a legitimate game wrecker. He is what you call a Tuesday player. What is a Tuesday player? That means coaches are fearful on Tuesday when you're like, uh-oh, I got to face this guy this week. Preparation starts immediately. You might even be preparing the Tuesday prior when you know that a guy like Micah Parsons is coming up. He fills the need for a legitimate game wrecker, and because you have a legitimate game wrecker, that would open up avenues for everybody else to go and be great, but also it opens up avenues for everybody else to not see doubles, which theoretically would then help in stopping of the run and then allowing other guys like your Johnny Newton, your Javon Kinlaws, Dietrich Wise, your Doan Armstrong, whoever, Frankie Louvu, to go get after the quarterback and see a lot of one-on-one matchups instead of potentially getting chipped, doubled, what have you, because so much attention is going to be directed at Micah Parsons. And then also because of how deep they are at defensive back, like the defense would be substantially better if you add a guy like Micah Parsons. The one caveat to the argument is something that a lot of you guys have made, and I think it's a very fair point. You want to get younger at some point. Like, you don't just want to constantly be the oldest team in the NFL, and, you know, the first-round draft picks would certainly help in that regard, but it's just very, very rare that you get an opportunity to get a top-3 defensive player legitimately available, although it did kind of sound like there was never a chance that he was going anywhere else. Green Bay, for whatever the reason is, Green Bay was the only place that he was ever going to actually end up going. Jason is in Laurel. Jason, what's going on?
What's up, buddy? It's funny because when I saw your tweet, I did the same thing you did with the text that you got. I had to check it. I was like, this can't be true. I'm dumbfounded, and somebody's got to ask Adam Peters about this because, you know, I know we want to rebuild through the roster, but you dropped him on this roster that we have right now, 2 Super Bowls. All right. And you can get other free agents because people are going to want to play here. What it just dumbfounds me that we didn't even try to pull this off or didn't pull off, because I know Micah and our coach have a relationship. They talk all the time. He talks about this on his podcast a couple times, and he has said publicly a couple times that he'd like to come here, or he'd like to come with DQ. So I'm dumbfounded that that this happened. Doubly dumbfounded that we didn't make a play for, or maybe we find out today we did. And the third thing is, and I don't want to be a Debbie Downer about this, I don't want to play him on a short week in week two. That actually kind of scares me a little bit. Because week one, we got Carter, and week two, we got this guy. That makes me a little nervous.
Yeah, that does make me nervous, which again, Jason, I appreciate the call as always. Be a real shame if they hold him to week three. You know, you just get to deal with Abdul Carter and the host of Giants guys, because it is more than just Carter, Brian Burns, Dexter Lawrence, Kayvon Thibodeau. Like, that Giants defensive front is just frightening. They really, really are. So it would be a real shame if Michael Parsons, you know, that back is a little tight. Maybe you don't want to play him on a short week. You just deal with Rashawn Gary on Thursday night by himself and not Rashawn Gary and Michael Parsons. I mean, that would just, again, it would be a real shame if Green Bay wanted to do something along those lines. I mean, who could fault them, though? You know, that big asset, you know, you want to keep your asset, keep him safe, keep him healthy. You know, it'd be a real shame there. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Do you wish that Adam Peters was aggressive and went out and got Micah Parsons? I said I would have traded a guy like Daron Payne, and I'm using Daron as an example because clearly the Dallas Cowboys wanted an aging defensive tackle. They got Kenny Clark. Congratulations. I would have given Daron Payne and a couple of first-round picks, maybe one more, maybe two first and a second, to Dallas to get Micah Parsons. It would have just taken a little bit of workshopping from Adam Peters and, honestly, a little bit of bullying. It would have been elder abuse. You had to make Jerry think that he was winning the deal. But I definitely think Adam Peters could have done it. Lap is in D.C. Lap, what's up?
Hey, what's up, Den? This is very shocking. I'm surprised that he went to the Packers and got traded at all. I'm glad he out of our division. It does suck we will have to see him, you know, on the weeks two in a short week. Maybe he doesn't play, like you said, if the back tightness continues. But I agree with you, Denton. I would have definitely traded Payne and, you know, a couple of firsts and maybe a second, too, to get him, man, because he is dangerous, man. He's a really nice player. So we'll see, man. I'm just hoping we be ready for this season. And we're going to get battle-tested, bro, offense and defensive from teams. So hope we up for the challenge. And I don't want Jaden out to be Superman. I hope the team has improved like they say. And I'm still a little nervous. Mr. Glass, as I call him, Noah Brown, and Debo, too. I just hope he's healthy, too, man. Terry, they pick up where they left off, and he'll be better. So we'll see, man.
Lap, I appreciate it. A couple of you have mentioned that the relationship with Michael Parsons and Dan Quinn, that was certainly a point of leverage that I feel like Washington had in their favor over a team like Green Bay. On top of that, you know who else Michael Parsons really, really loves? Jaden Daniels. Like, to the point where it was kind of weird last year. Every time he was on a podcast praising Jaden Daniels. And because he was on a podcast every week, he was praising Jaden Daniels every single week. He loves Jaden. He loves Dan Quinn. I feel like you could have gotten away with maybe just paying him like $43 million, $45 million instead of the $48 that Green Bay gave him. But that's, who cares now? Who cares now, right? The question is just, would you have gone after him with just the might of 1,000 horses? 301-230-0980. We'll continue to take some of your calls when we get back. We'll talk college football with Rob Brown at high noon, at 11. So in about 25 minutes, it's the Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton Day sitting in for Kevin here on the Team 980.
All right, it is Friday, August 29th, and you may have heard already, but in case you did miss it, Micah Parsons has been traded from the Dallas Cowboys to the Green Bay Packers in exchange for two first-round picks and defensive tackle Kenny Clark. Jerry Jones held a press conference late last evening and said, quote, the facts are we need to stop the run. We haven't been able to stop the run for several years. Those draft picks could get us top Pro Bowl players, end quote. The Mystics, they drop one to the New York Liberty. The rookies Kiki Arifin and Sonia Citrin continue to be right spots offensively, leading the team in scoring last night. Rough shooting night for the team as they go 20% from just beyond the arc. The final score, 89-63. To baseball, Kyle Schwarber becomes the 21st player in MLB history to hit 4 home runs in a ballgame, the third time this year after Nick Kurtz became the first rookie to accomplish the feat in July, and Eugenio Suarez did the same feat back in April. He becomes the first Philly to do it since Mike Schmidt in 1976. The Nats, they take on the Tampa Bay Rays tonight. Mitch Parker looking to bounce back from his last two starts, giving up 12 runs in just 6 2/3 innings. He takes on Adrian Hauser. First pitch is at 6:45, and Nats on Deck with Charlie and Dave at 6:15 on The Fan. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live every day from 10 to 1. You can catch Denton's Office throughout all football season. Don't forget to like, hit the like button whenever you do decide to join us, and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.